Afternoon, everyone. We're back. We're going to reconvene the morning session of Senate Finance. We're going to walk through a few more amendments. Present at the table are Senator McKinnon, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, Senator Michicki, and myself, Senator Kelly. We have before us SB 140 and SB 139, and we have an amendment packet and the amendments have been distributed. Okay, let's go ahead and distribute the amendments. Do we want to do that? I'm just taking it easy as we distribute the amendments. Back on the record, the amendments have been distributed. We're going to start with amendment number 22.
Mr. Chairman.
We approve that.
So before we go any further, let's move an amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 22.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, for the purposes of, we need to revisit amendment number 20. And
we don't have that as a piece of paper in front of us, do we?
Mr. Chairman.
Madam Chair, could you withdraw your...
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my amendment. Mr. Chairman, I move to rescind the action in adopting amendment number 20.
Object. See, for explanation.
Amendment number 20 removed some positions, and it included PCN numbers. It is not our way to actually eliminate PCN numbers in the budget. It's a separation of powers issue. In some ways, it's even a courtesy issue. And so we're going to re-offer this amendment without the PCA numbers on it. And that's all this is. It changes nothing that we've done.
I remove my objection.
Amendment number 22 is before us. Is there objection to adopting amendment number 22?
Mr. Chairman, brief at ease.
And Madam Chair, would you move amendment number 22?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 22.
Is there objection?
Object.
We just explained amendment number 22 as well. You object? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Call the roll.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Michicki?
Yes.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator
Yes. With that, amendment number 22 has been adopted. So now into the course of business that we had laid out for this afternoon. Just a comment that what we're going to do is essentially create a CS. This will be melded into the House budget later on. It isn't the end of the process, however. We're going to, with any luck, unless the committee objects, we'll move this out of committee. It'll go and be read across tomorrow after we adopt a CS and move it out. And then it'll be in second reading tomorrow, but for all intents and purposes, we probably won't be acting on it tomorrow. We'll go to third reading on Monday and then return to second reading for further amendments. That's just as we go along the process. That's still not the end there. It goes over to the House. They will fail to concur. We'll have a conference committee and lots more bites at this apple before the ultimate process comes to a halt by the end of the session. But for now, we have Amendment 23 before us. Madam Chair.
Mr. Co-Chairman, I move Amendment Number 23.
Object for purposes of discussion. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. James Armstrong, Staff Senator Kelly. Amendment 23 removes some intent language contained within the Department of Administration and the Department of Education and Early Development. It removes discretionary language allowing the commissioner within administration to move $750,000 between appropriations. Insofar as the Department of Education and Early Development, allowed the same discretion there, but it was a $500,000 up to limit, and this amendment removes those provisions.
I will remove my objection. Are there further objections? With that, Amendment Number 23 has been adopted. Brief at ease. Amendment number 24 is before us. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 24.
Object.
Go ahead. Senator Hoffman, speak to the objection, please.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is basically bring the levels of funding that were requested by the governor to full funding for ASME and for tourism marketing.
I would add discussion or comments that this is a 41.7% reduction to last year's number, and it is about a $3.5 million cut to tourism marketing. And Senator Hoffman, how much to ASME?
Both of them, I think, were cut at 30%. So
Okay. Whatever
that number is, they were equally cut by both at the same percentage.
Okay. Brief at ease. Is the objection maintained?
Maintained.
Okay, go ahead.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Mitchell?
No.
Senator Olson?
Yes.
Senator
No.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
4 yeas, 3 nays.
With that, Amendment number 24 has been adopted. We'll take a brief at ease.
25 is before Senator Machicki. Go ahead.
I move amendment number 25, Mr. Chairman.
Is there objection? Hearing none. Oh, James, wait a minute. This is the, we should probably walk through this. Go ahead, James. Mr. Armstrong.
Amendment number 25 deletes a provision that was added in, on the other side that deposited, transferred $80 million into the higher education fund. It was an FY16 transaction.
Just for purpose of discussion, it has been our intent to make the budgeting as simple and transparent as possible. I'm not going to criticize them or get into a big discussion why you should or shouldn't do it the way they did it. The Senate has had some pretty strict rules about transferring funds and avoiding it as much as we can. We can't always. But we thought it was far less complicated and far more apparent to the people of Alaska how we're spending money if we didn't include this and a few more amendments to come. There is no objection to that. That, with that, amendment number 25 is adopted. Amendment number 26 is kind of on the same lines. Mr. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 26.
Mr. Armstrong.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment within the other body, in FY17, it appropriated $77 million of the higher education fund that we just spoke about and supplanted unrestricted general funds in that appropriation. This deletes that provision or transaction. And then also, so you have a clear number for on the bottom, lines 7 through 10 in the amendment, gives you the state assistance figure of $116.7 million for TERS. Lines 1 through 3 increase the PERS contribution for state assistance to the number that was originally submitted by the administration.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my objection.
With that, amendment number 26 has been adopted. Amendment number 27, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 27.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Chairman, amendment 27 deletes an FY16 deposit of $435 million to the Public Education Fund. And in lines 5 through 10 of the amendment, it gives a true number of what FY17 UGF spending will be for when you remove that 435, what the number would be for K-12 funding in FY17.
Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection.
Is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number 27 has been adopted. Amendment number 28, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 28.
Object for purposes of discussion. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Chairman, amendment number 28 has an effective date of June 30th of this year, 2016. It deposits $114 million from the general fund into the defined benefit plan for the public employees retirement system. The second provision appropriates $228 million into the defined benefit plan for the teachers retirement system. And like I mentioned earlier, they both have June 30th effective dates.
We anticipate getting $16, $18, $20 million in savings over several, many years from this action. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Until we get a run from our actuaries, it's an estimate right now.
Is there further objection? I guess I have the objection. Is there anyone else have an objection to adopting this amendment? Hearing none, it has been adopted. Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 29.
Is there objection?
Object for discussion.
Okay, go ahead. Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Chairman, amendment number 29 deletes the provision for FY16 inflation proofing of the principal of the permanent fund. It's estimated to be $47 million. It also deletes inflation proofing provisions in FY17 estimated to be $896
million. The governor's bill had removed this. The House put it back. We're then going to remove it. It will be fully conferenceable. Before we do, may I go to Senator Donnelly?
You can go. Okay. Take an easy.
Back on the record, just last year we had made a deposit for inflation proofing, as we often do. The amount that was actually attributed, that was estimated for inflation proofing, was somewhere in the $800 to $900 million mark. But inflation has been so low, we are in a deflationary period, or we're going into that, that it was only $47 million for 17. The amount estimated for, excuse me, for 16, the amount estimated for 17 was a much higher number, and that's why you see the broad disparity between the two. The first one is an actual, and the other one is an estimate. Senator Dunleavy?
Is it also, through the chair, is it also estimated that the corpus itself is going to produce income that may equal or exceed the inflation rate of this year?
Well, that's been the discussion all along, is that we are all already inflation-proofing, and when we make these deposits, we actually double inflation-proof. So I can't remember, was there an outstanding objection to that? Who had it? It was Senator Dunleavy. Senator Dunleavy, go ahead.
Removed.
Okay. With that, amendment number 29 has been adopted. Amendment number 30 is before us. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 30.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. This is one of those pieces in the legislation that is actually going to be a $100 million cut. In some respects, you may want to consider it a placeholder, because there are many pieces of legislation and there are further actions that are going to happen that we can't reflect in the bill right now. It is said to be an unallocated reduction for that reason, that we are attaching it to things that will happen. Again, structural and systemic changes that we've been talking about all along, but it is also possible that this will become part of the end game. So we want to give the governor as much flexibility, should he end up with this reduction, this unallocated reduction, we want to give him plenty of flexibility to not only move across appropriations, but as far as I know, the first time in history to actually move money across department lines. I'm sorry. You ready? It was within department lines, across appropriations within department lines. My mistake, my apologies. So as I said, this is, the best way I can describe this is it's probably going to end up a placeholder because we have so many systemic and structural changes that are floating around out there that we can't attach it to right now. But there are multiple bills, multiple actions that we will take over time. So with that, I'm going to remove my objection. Are there further objections? Number 30 has been adopted. I'm going to go back. We're not going to rescind, but we're going to ask on number 28. Number 28 was the deposit of 342 purse terms capitalization. I had mentioned that that may be a $16 to $20 million spending reduction. We're going to have to get some runs on that to figure out what the actuarials are. But before we proceed, a member has asked if Mr. Teal could come up and join Mr. Armstrong and perhaps answer some more questions on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Teal, you want to walk through that?
Can I ask a question?
Certainly. Go ahead, Senator Michicki.
So one of the reasons I supported 25 through 27 is about transparency. Mm-hmm. And I just, for the record, want Alaskans to understand $342 million of a deposit. Can you explain why that's not an increase in spending and essentially how that the mechanics of those deposits work?
For the record, David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance Division. Senator, through the chair, I guess if what you're looking for is transparency, meaning that this FY16 or the use of FY16 money is not some shell game to reduce FY17 spending. It isn't, because this is a permanent reduction for theoretically the life of the past service cost the next 25 years. So it's not something that's going to bounce back upward in the next year or even 5 years.
Just, Mr. Chairman, you've been pretty pure about the cuts we have in this budget are real cuts. And I just think amendment number 28 had the potential to be misunderstood, and I think that clarifies things nicely.
Okay. It's been adopted. What's the motion we have to take right now? Or what's the action we have to take right now?
He's taken at ease.
He's taken at ease. Call the chair, and then we're going to have the CS.
Yeah, taken at ease, and we'll come back in a second.
faster than we have in the past, and because there was so much work for our drafters to be doing with the House document, we just need to make sure that we are cognizant of their ability to get documents out and make sure that we have the right document in front of us at the right time. So with that said, I want to make sure and thank people who work so hard on this stuff. Of course, David and Amanda and Rob and Lacey and Danith and Kelly and Alexi from Legislative Finance. Megan Wallace, the drafter for both bills, she's from our Legislative Legal Services, and she's about as worn out as you can get. Pat Pitney and her crew, of course, with the OMB, we appreciate all their input. Donnie, Allison, Marta, and Laura from our finance group here. And by the way, happy birthday, Donnie. Now, Jessica's not here. What's your name?
Matt.
Were you from Matt from last year? No, okay. New Matt. Didn't know Matt. Hi, Matt. Welcome, and thank you. Tim with Senator Hoffman's office, Laura with Senator McKinnon's office, subcommittee staff, Denise with Senator Olson's office, Sheila and Ben with Senator Dunleavy, Mike with Senator Bishop, Trevor with Senator Michicki, Brett and Joe in my office, and I certainly hope, oh, Daryl, you're always here with the late nights and those kinds of things. This guy, I haven't seen you all year this year. Welcome back, Joe. And I'm sure there's more. But my apologies if I missed you. Christine, hi. James? What am I, chopped liver? Was that the look? Okay. Thanks, everyone. So with that, we're going to recess. Well, we're not going to recess. We're going to recess after we get the 257 House bill in front of us. And then we will recess until tomorrow, 8:30-ish.
9:30-ish.
I bet it. Oh, he's taken off his bolo tie. He must be serious here. So I'm just going to take a brief at ease so we can get everything in front of us and we can move.
They're saying we don't have to move the CSs right now.
Okay.
Because there's no CS. You just are in possession of the document.
Okay.
Right. And we don't have to bring them in front of the committee.
No, because they're already
ours. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So how about we go to recess? We'll recess until tomorrow, 8:30.
I think you have to come back on the record because
we're going
to
be. Right. We're on the record, and we will come back tomorrow at 8:30 and start over again on 256 and version V and the mental health document, which is the House version, is 257 version echo. And with that, we have Senator Dunleavy.
Chair, just a quick comment. Just for folks that are watching, this is what's happening today and tomorrow is not the end of the process. We still have many steps to go, and I know folks are watching this wondering if this is the budget, but tomorrow there's work and there's going to be several benchmark days after that, and so I just want to assure folks that we're going to keep working on the budget and for some of us look at more efficiencies and ways to move this budget forward, because I know there are folks that are concerned about some other bills that may be coming our way in terms of taxes and permanent fund, but just want to let folks know this is part of the process and we're not done with it.
One thing to keep in mind for all of our mental health is it feels like April 11th, but it's March 11th. And so as you get real wound up here, because we're moving rather quickly, and that's why we have drafting problems and lots of people stacked up who are behind the scenes doing a lot of work, everybody just take a deep breath. It's March. Senator Chickie?
Mr. Chairman, you thanked just about everybody, and it's hard to remember everyone, but you know, we started early, both bodies moving at the same time. We also sort of put the departments through the grinder on this effort as well. So I do want to give a shout out to the folks from all the various departments from during the subcommittee work. A lot of good work. Thank you.
Yep. We are now in recess.